Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking about. Welcome to issue number 30. I am your host, Aaron, and over to my right is Mr. Ethan.
Greetings and salutations.
And to my left is Shay.
Hi.
And tonight we also have a very special guest on the show. We have John from the Bag to Boardcast.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I'm good. These guys look good-ish.
Yeah. We're hearing voices today.
I am hearing voices. That's why we got the headphones on and stuff like that. But we brought in John for a specific reason, not just because we like his show, which what we do, but this is issue number 30. And if you listen at all, you know that tonight is the very special Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthos episode. Tonight we do have four nominees that are going neck-to-neck to become the next order of the member of Ruthos.
To see who has been inducted into the order, you can visit our website and see the nifty page that's been set up for it.
What's the name of that website, Ethan?
It is redphonezone.com.
Actually, yeah, he did add a, he added a Ruthos tab, and it's really cool. Good pictures in there, actually. I really like the picture you got of Bruce Campbell. Bruce fucking Campbell.
Oh, yes, Bruce fucking Campbell.
Bruce fucking Campbell, that's
Yeah. Good job. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about each of our nominees tonight. Our nominees are, we're going to be starting off with Will Smith. After that, we're going to be going to Mr. Michael Keaton. After that, Terrence Stamp. And we're going to be wrapping it all up with Stan the Man Lee.
Yep.
Then after that, we're going to name the winner, and we'll let you guys get back to your lives.
I think throughout the show, you can go and,
yep.
I mean, while we're broadcasting, obviously, you can go and vote at redphonezone.com before we decide on, before we... announce the winner, I should say.
Before you decide. It's not us.
Before you decide.
You.
So if you're watching this live on Ustream, you can go to vote right now.
Yep, redphonezone.com. Just hit the person you'd like to see. And it'd be kind of cool because right now there's a pretty clear-cut winner. It'd be awesome if it moved before then.
Could totally be an upset. We'll see.
Well, let's see. The dark horse.
So if you're watching this show, get all your friends. Go to redphonezone.com and vote.
Go to the public library and use every single one of the computers.
Yeah, I mean, you want to stuff about vote early,
vote
often.
But before we're going to get into that, we do have a segment that we like to do every single week that we call Geekly Happenings. I don't know. And Bella is barking, so I guess
announced. They do like the
Geekly
Happenings. The
dogs like the Geekly Happenings.
We've heard, gotten dog mails.
We got dog mails. Gotcha. I guess we're going to open up this week with, it's not a huge news week, and that's always fun, I guess. It's not really fun to talk about. The biggest thing I think that's going on is the newest issue of Entertainment Weekly that has a picture of Captain America from the Captain America First Avenger movies. You guys see that?
I did, yes. You should be happy the shield is in
there. I'm very happy about that. You guys saw it.
And I like that picture they had in there of it, too. It was very cool.
Yeah, that'd be a good poster with his back to it.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
John, did you guys see those pictures?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We talked about it on our show. It should be up on our website, bagandboard.com, sometime this week.
It's up now.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
I downloaded it today.
We definitely, all three of us, Chris, Paul, and myself, definitely psyched to see it. A different look for Chris Evans. And one of the things that I thought was really cool is you see a picture of Captain America standing from behind with the original shield.
Yeah, I dig that shield.
So definitely psyched to see what they're going to be doing. And I'm actually kind of glad to see that this movie is taking place more in the past, in the... late 30s, early 40s of World War II.
Yeah, I am too. That could be very interesting. But something that I think is kind of telling is apparently there's going to be some sort of contemporary part in the movie because Samuel L. Jackson is going to be in it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he obviously can't play Nick Fury, 60 years ago, so there's obviously going to be some kind of contemporary thing, even if it's just like a shot at the end of him being pulled out of the glacier. But yeah, I'm really interested to see that. That should be good. I was very...
You got,
please, go ahead.
you got to remember Nick Fury and the Screaming Commandos back that took place from end of World War II and Vietnam. So you might see a young Nick Fury in there.
That would be cool. I'd like to see that. I would like to see that. I'm very much on record being displeased about Chris Evans playing Captain America. Look at those pictures and kind of hearing how the way that he's handling the role, I'm less scared of it. To me, he was a little bit young, but you know, hey, I mean, that's just something that you know my mind has itself set on, even though he probably should be a younger person, because I always thought somebody like Michael Biehn or you know somebody like that would be a good Captain America.
I do think that Captain America should be a young man.
Yeah.
Just because he's, like, permanently locked at 18, only a superhuman version.
Sure, and Chris Evans is, what we say, 28, something like that? I don't remember how old he is. So.
But it might be difficult to actually make someone that young that, like, bulky. I mean, I guess there's some pretty...
Well, they got his ass pretty bulky. I mean, he looks like he got stung by bees. I mean, there's a picture of him without a shirt on, and he's big. I mean, he really, really, really pumped up for it. But, yeah, that's interesting. You can find it all over the web, or I'm not sure if that's on newsstands now or not. I haven't really been to a newsstand, so I can't really say. But I'm interested to check that out. Good pictures. Looking forward to the movie more and more each day. What else we got?
Obviously, there's the Hobbit. James Nesbitt has joined the Hobbit cast. James Nesbitt's a British actor who was actually in the running for a bit for Doctor Who, but is probably most well known for his work on the miniseries they did, Jekyll.
Who's he going to be playing, or have they said yet?
I did not see who they had him playing as quite yet, though.
Okay. But he just, well, I mean, we kind of have the we kind of have the primary cast already taken care of, right? I mean, really, the only other person that there is would be like Bard.
Yeah.
So I mean, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? We'll see. Kevin Smith revealed the Red State poster.
That's a good picture.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah. And that's his new horror movie
coming out in January. I'm really looking forward to that. Starring. What's his face? Michael Parks.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing the crazy minister in that.
Yep. And the new Conan movie got a release date.
I saw August, was it?
August 19th, 2011. So August 19th of next year. So we're going to get us some Conan.
Still not looking forward to that even a little bit, but hey.
The more recent photos make it look a little better, but I'm still, yeah.
You know, I honestly we're probably lucky to have one good Conan movie, but... But Shay does love himself some Red Sonja.
Yeah. The other news I spotted was 20th Century Fox set a release date for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's coming out June 22nd, 2012.
The secret history.
History of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Excellent. Any thoughts on this stuff, John?
Actually, really glad to hear about the secret life of Abraham Lincoln. I haven't yet been read the book, but I saw the YouTube video that they put up of it, which really got me excited for that. Mm-hmm. Again, yeah, like Conan, I don't really matter to me.
Yeah.
I'm actually interested to hear that Kevin Smith finally got funding to do his horror movie that he's been pitching around for a long time.
Yeah, he's been talking about it for a long time.
It's actually really, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you listen to Smodcast, you can actually kind of hear the whole funding story step by step by step by step by step, and it's actually it's good radio. I mean, it's dramatic. It really is. Go ahead, John.
No, that's pretty much what I was going to say. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how it took him to get to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you.
One of the things that I saw that's happening this week, and also I hope you guys don't mind that I'm going to steal everything that you're saying from my show that we're taping on Sunday.
Hey, we stole the Captain America thing from you.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Go ahead.
Is Legendary Pictures, the movie company, is starting up their own Legendary Comics. And they stole from IDW Bob Schick. to be their editor-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
They're going to be putting out original novels.
Mm-hmm. And for our viewers, I mean, Legendary Pictures, the people who did 300, the new Clash of the Titans, I think, is one of theirs, V for Vendetta. They've done quite a few projects.
Have they announced any properties that they have for it yet?
They have not. I imagine some of them are probably going to be tied into their movies that they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they have some. Bob Schick's a well-known name in comic books, so I'd be really good leading that.
I mean, it would just be speculation on this part, but I could see them actually getting the contract for Xerxes, the sequel to 300 or something like that. I mean, you know, that would make sense. I could also see them getting like some kind of weird property, stuff like Thundercats or Transformers or something like that.
Pick back up and reimagine type of thing.
Yeah.
I can also pull in comic book writers to write their own kind of graphic novels and then take those right into their movie lines.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like the reverse of what DC and Marvel are doing right now, really. But it makes good sense because comic book movies are such like a viable property at the moment.
And go ahead.
You look back in the last couple of years, how many movies have all been based on comic books?
Oh yeah,
this summer we saw four of them.
Mm-hmm. One of them was really good.
Yeah.
One of them was good, but yeah, we did see four of them. Well, I don't know.
I still haven't seen Jonah Hex, but
I don't bother.
I'm probably gonna.
Shay, if you hated Spider-Man because it wasn't close enough to the comic books, you will shoot yourself after watching frickin' Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know the Jonah Hex comics very well, and I almost shot myself after seeing that movie.
Mm-hmm. I just really wanted to see like a good director's cut. But yeah. Moving on. You said you had something else, Sean. What was it?
Oh, Liongate Pictures has picked up Judge Dredd to distribute it in the U.S.
Yep.
So we don't have to worry about trying to find a bootleg or the British version of Dredd.
Excellent. And that's going to star
Carl Urban,
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Me too.
That'll be pretty cool. I like Carl Urban.
I do too. I mean, he really strikes me as one of those actors that has something. He really hasn't hit yet. I mean, he has a very, would you call it a pretty small role in Lord of the Rings? Mm-hmm. I actually liked him quite a bit in Red. He was badass in Star Trek. He was a bad guy. He was the government spook, the FBI guy.
Bad guy, sort of.
Oh, the FBI guy.
Right. Yeah.
And I spotted two deaths that happened recently. First off, obviously James MacArthur, the original Dano from Hawaii Five-O, died just this last week, 72 years old. Just sort of on the
God said book 'em, Dano.
Yes, and God said book 'em, Dano. And it's on the heel, obviously, heels of the new show coming out, the new show. Also saw that the creator of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Alexander Anderson Jr., died in California. And this happened, I think, just before the last show. So
yeah, it did. I've actually heard that on the news quite a bit over the last week. Jesus is bothering me. I cannot remember he was the actual original creator of Rocky and Bullwinkle, but is it Jay Ward? The guy that got all the freaking credit for it for like 50 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like he ended up suing Jay Ward and you know, he ended up getting like some recognition finally and now he's gone. So
Yeah.
I do like me some Rocky and Bullwinkle though.
But I think unless we got other stuff,
What about you, Shay? Do you have any wacky science news?
You know, in the world of science news, Shay Rinke has decided to look up science news once a week for at least this show.
Good job. Did you find anything?
No.
Scientists did create giant dragonflies, prehistoric dragonflies.
How giant?
There you go. That's good.
About the size of my forearm.
Can you buy them?
No, not yet.
That'd probably be a little expensive. I'd buy a giant
That's about the only science news I remember seeing.
I don't look at science news. I mean, unless it, like, you know, like, slaps me in the face, but...
Yeah, I only mention it if it's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. I'd like to meet a giant prehistoric firefly.
But we're going into the zone of Ruthaz.
We are going into the zone of Ruthaz.
I've got one piece of news that sort of can segue us into that.
What's that?
Betty White.
Just joining the cast of Men in Black 3. Right. I remember that. Right. Now that you brought it up.
And she was a nominee the last time.
She was.
We'll have two... Order of Ruthaw's nominees in Men in Black 3. It should be really good.
They should put that on.
Man,
the
I cannot wait to not see Men in Black 3. Please, it's going to be great. Yeah. No. I just cannot wait to say, oh, wow, Men in Black 3 is playing in the theater. I'm going to go see something else.
I mean, heck, it might be even as good as Men in Black 2 was.
I hope not.
Men in Black 2 was fun. I loved it. Men in Black 1 was kind of heavy. Men in Black 2 was really, really light. Be interesting to see if they get Men in Black 3 to be somewhere in between there.
So, yeah, I mean, I just heard something and my ears are bleeding now. But, yeah, stay tuned. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about Mr. Will Smith. Stay tuned.
2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what do we got? What do we got? Okay.
Almost.
Okay, boom.
1 minute left.
I know, right?
You said 2 minutes.
All right, boom.
Are you good at it? Maybe you pretend to be good.
No, I got it. It just takes a minute.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's the whole problem with the Olympics cube.
It's fine.
He's a stiff resistant.
Whoa.
Whoa, we've got something
else. Man. Almost.
Yeah! Whoa!
And we are back with the Order of Ruthaz show. What we're going to do is we're going to take a little bit of time on each segment to tell you about the people that we have chosen for our nominees. And at the end of the show, we are going to name the winner, who is actually chosen through democracy. So that's pretty cool. But we're going to start off with Shay's nominee, who is Mr. Will Smith. What do you got to say about him, Shay?
Will Smith is actually a really amazing person. He, one of the most interesting things I found out while looking him up for actual details, not just from what I know about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and I really don't need to introduce Will Smith because he's being offered, potentially has a chance to be Will fucking Smith, so you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's quoted as saying that he had no intention of going to college because he always knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a performer.
Right.
And his mother was also the school board administrator in the town that he worked in, or that he lived in. And so he knew about college. He had a scholarship set up. He went to it for a little while and just kind of walked off, which I feel for. I did the same thing.
Okay.
He was born on September 25th, 1968. It's Willard Christopher Smith, Jr., and his son is Trey the Third.
He's got two sons and a daughter, Willow Smith, because she just released that hit single "Whip My Hair" or whatever the hell it is. Some kind of crazy music that isn't me very much. But
I
hey,
up the, what the kids were doing actually.
Yeah, Jaden's making a sequel to The Karate Kid. We know that.
I did find out what his brother does, which is make designer homes for people.
Mm-hmm.
14 of his 19 fiction films have accumulated more than $100 million, four of them over $500 million, and he's produced dozens of them, well, not dozens, a dozen of them, like half of the movies he's been in, he's been a part producer. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most number of movie premieres released and attended in 24 hours. An interesting sort of factoid, and Newsweek called him the most powerful actor on the planet. angry video game nerd calls him the most charming man in Hollywood, and I think they're both probably pretty accurate.
That wasn't the angry video game nerd, that was a nostalgia critic.
I apologize, nostalgia critic.
Okay. What movies has he done that you've liked?
Wild Wild West, I Am Legend, Hancock. I did not like I, Robot, which is the first one that he produced, but it was all right. I read the book, so.
Of I, Robot?
It's an interesting movie, but it's certainly different. As was I Am Legend, which I did like, so it's not just the fact that it's different from the book. There's something else about the movie that I'm like.
Uh-huh. I liked Will's. I liked I Am Legend okay, but I was really sad because of the dog.
Yeah, and it was nice that they gave him his daughter back. Something that I forgot about, because I did listen to the original Fresh Prince, was Ready Rock C is the name of the beatboxer that him and Jazzy Jeff were did the Fresh Prince music with. He's also a big donator to charity and supports like advanced education and all this kind of thing. He's given hundreds of thousands of dollars all over the place and non-denominationally to Christian, lots of faith-based organizations, Muslims, Jewish, Scientology, because probably connected to a lot of the Scientology people just from business.
I can see that. See, what else is there about Will Smith? 2-time Academy Award nominee, I think. He was nominated for Pursuit of Happiness and for Ali. Definitely.
Yes.
I think that's it. I don't think he has been nominated for anything else. I do think there is a great quote that I've read about Will Smith that he said that he firmly believes that if he wanted to become the president of the United States that he could do so in the next 10 years. Uh-huh. So the guy is, you know, nothing short on confidence, if nothing else.
No, he's a smart guy.
He is a very smart guy. Something that a lot of people don't know about him is him and Jada Pinkett Smith, his wife, are at least partially responsible for the rise of the dog whisperer of Cesar Millan, because they've been using his services for years and years and years and years and years. I've actually watched the dog whisperer DVDs and their supplements where, you know, he's talking with Jada about their dogs and stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of people don't know that. I got no problem with Will Smith. He nominated him, but I have no problem with him. I like him. He's just one of those actors, you know. There's such a thing as a Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even got down to the point where people call the 4th of July weekend the Will Smith weekend, because he's released a movie the 4th of July weekend like every year for like 10 years or something.
Almost
like that.
Every year. But yeah.
It seemed like there was a break in there, but yeah, I like him.
No, he's a very fine actor. I mean, I say the movie I Am Legend is probably one of his best works as just performance wise. It's not one of my favorite movies, mind you, but it is
good performance.
It is hard for an actor to carry a movie by himself for more than half the film, and he does it.
Very similar to Castaway in that sense. Yeah, exactly. I thought that when I saw it.
And it is definitely takes an actor with a lot of gravitas, with a lot of presence to be able to, a lot of talent, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And sort of saying, yeah, he was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's like, well, yeah, but now he's Will Smith. And
yeah.
I'll never forget Welcome to Earth. Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy's got a great sense of humor about himself, which scores definite points in my book.
Mine too. I mean, anybody that would do his role that he did in Jersey Girl.
Yeah.
That's people like talk shit on that movie. I think it's fine, but I do think that does show a great sense of humility with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he was one of the executive producers on The Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm. And the sequel.
And he is on the sequel. And I've seen some footage of him back behind the scenes with his son.
Yeah.
I think that family itself just has a lot of talent.
I do too.
You can see a lot of Will Smith in.
Oh yeah.
In the kid.
Very much his father's son.
And it's very very entertaining to see that, and he's just such a confident actor and such a confident presence. That,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's one of the acting greats that I think we're going to see again and again and again and again and again.
So. Yeah, he's not going anywhere unless he wants to. I mean, he's not gonna fall off. I mean, people will go see a movie just because Will Smith's in it.
I have what he's working on right now. One is he's supposed to be Barack Obama in a movie at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's unofficial, but he is Barack Obama's choice.
Yeah. The President of the United States asked for him to play him in a movie. I think it probably.
I think Hollywood will go. Okay.
No, I mean, he could do it.
Hail to the chief, he's the one we say hail to.
Hail to the chief, he's the chief and he needs hailing. Hail to the chief, or I'm going to kill you.
I
love that movie.
But he's currently making The Last Pharaoh about a biblical figure. Mm-hmm.
Cool. John, do you like Will Smith?
I do enjoy Will Smith. I think I've enjoyed more, like you guys said, I Am Legend. But I kind of like his more dramatic roles, because you actually kind of get Will Smith acting versus, you know, in Men in Black, Independence Day. Those movies, you kind of get the same kind of character. You get him kind of always doing that yell.
Yeah. Oh, hell no.
And he was nominated for Oscar for Pursuit of Happiness.
And for Ali.
That's right.
If you were listening, we did say that earlier.
Okay. I was doing technical things.
I know. Continue, John.
One of his best performances is actually like his third movie, which is...
Seven Degrees of Separation. Fantastic performance, yes.
It's just fantastic, and that's like one of those movies when I saw when I was a lot younger, and I said, wow, this guy's really got some acting chops. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is you don't really get that in a lot of his features. I'd like to really see him kind of go a little more the way of like a Denzel Washington and take some more roles with a little more meat and a lot less kind of hamming for the movie, you know, for the screen.
Yeah, I mean, he does have that million-dollar smile.
He does.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's one of the reasons why he got the name Prince, because he used to be able to talk his way out of getting in trouble. Everyone just started calling him Prince.
Yep.
So he's definitely a very very charismatic actor, and I'd like to see him take a lot more kind of meatier roles.
And I agree, because I thought he was... You know, I think, you know, you're right about the 6 degrees of separation. I mean, that was kind of that one, you're like, holy crap, this guy can act. But, to me, I think to date, my favorite performance of him was in The Pursuit of Happiness, because, you know, he really exuded that Will Smith charm, and yet he did also, you know, put on, like, a dramatic, you know, tour de force, so to speak. I mean, very excellent movie. Very, very good movie. And, you know, I like the guy. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's got he's very charismatic. He's somebody that everybody enjoys watching, everybody likes. You know, even my grandma loved him in Men in Black and in the different movies that he's done. So everyone can get behind him. I just like to see him take a lot more kind of control of his career. I mean, he's kind of all over the place doing the ham movies, and then every once in a while you get like Pursuit of Happiness or even The 7 Pounds, even though I didn't think it was that great of a movie, he definitely has got some chops.
I don't think that movie was his fault. I mean, he turned in a very good performance. It was more the script and the direction. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying that he's not a bad actor, but I'd like to see him take more chances with roles. He seems to take a lot more safe stuff. You know, like, do we really need a Men in Black 3, or do we want him to see a more dramatic role from him?
I'd much rather see dramatic roles from the Men in Black 3. But, you know, the guy's just, I mean, the guy's so, he's a very smart businessman. He's so calculating. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he wants to make, you know, he's got a goal in mind to make 15 movies to make more $100 million so he can start taking more of those choice roles. Yeah. I mean, he is somebody that I would not be surprised if in the least that he will wind up getting an Oscar. He's very good.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
I mean, I really sort of think of, you know, this is cliche, but so the Black Clint Eastwood type of thing. I mean, give him another 20 years. I mean, he's going to be a personality in film and in Hollywood until he dies.
Yeah, and I mean, by all accounts, he's like, he's just a huge sweetheart. Everyone loves him.
I think he's an actor of the caliber, like really Richard Burton, an actor of quality of, you know, Kirk Douglas. You know, think guys like that, where it's like, you know, in 20 years, they're going to be looking back and, like, now we're going, you know, oh, hey, you know, Clark Gable was great. And,
right.
Cary Grant. Well, that, in another generation, that's going to, they're going to be looking back and going, well, that's Will Smith, and that's, you know, that's George Clooney. And
yeah.
Stuff like that, just great, these great actors from this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he deserves to be here.
I think he's a very solid nominee for the Order of Ruthos. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back, and we're going to be making the case for Mr. Michael Keaton. Stay tuned.
What are we really talking about here? Huh? What's the essence of what we're talking about? I'll spell it out for you if I have to. Prostitution! Hmm?
Are you kidding, Alex? What is
it? Prostitution. Hey, we can say it. We're big kids now, right? You know, a lot of times it'll help you to understand a word if you break it down. So let's do that now, shall we? Pros doesn't mean anything. Forget about that. Tit, I think we all know what that means. Two. Okay, two. Tit. And shun, of course, from the Latin to shun. Say no, thank you anyway, I don't want to push away. Doesn't even belong in this word, really, so let's get rid of that. You know, if I can take a moment here, and I mean this, what I'm about to say. I feel a lot of love in this room. I don't know, maybe it's me, but I'll tell you something, I was here a minute ago, and it's really beautiful. So at this moment, I think it's important that I see all of your breasts. Or I don't have to. I don't see it.
And we are back. We just had a fun little discussion about why you should vote for Will Smith. And now we got a reason why we even have John here in the first place is he's going to be representing the Bagged and Boardcast tonight and discussing why you should vote for their nominee, Michael Keaton. Why should we vote for him, John?
Well, when we got the email from Aaron to put in a nominee, we were thinking, well, you can't get past Stan Lee. I mean, Stan Lee, I think, and Chris thought, was the given to win. I think Aaron stacked the deck on this one because he wanted to have his be nominated. But we thought of, like, who could be close enough to come in second? And we thought, well, he's got to be a really good character actor. Someone who's got some iconic roles behind him with Batman and Beetlejuice.
Mr. Mom.
Roles, and Mr. Mom. We put out Michael Keaton. Very interesting. He's been around since the early 80s. His first role being in Night Shift, which is possibly up there as one of his best. It's a fun movie where they run a call girl shop out of a mortuary. He's kind of one of those really kind of fun comedy actors. Got his first start Mr. Rogers'
mm-hmm.
Neighborhood. He was a man and then started performing on it, got the acting bug. Moved to L.A., and when he moved to L.A., he found out that he needed to change his name from Michael Douglas because there was already one of those guys around.
Sure, I knew that, yeah.
He read an article with Diane Keaton talking and took her name and became Michael Keaton. He's been around. I think he's got some great movies, Johnny Dangerously. Mr. Mom, his second motion picture, was a big hit.
Yeah, that was the one that made him a household name.
Exactly. Gung Ho, another really fun movie. And then, you know, Beetlejuice. Come on, who didn't love Beetlejuice?
I wouldn't want to meet the person that didn't love Beetlejuice.
How's that song go?
I mean,
Beetlejuice, at the end there.
The Deo song? Yeah, it was a good song.
Deo!
Day.
I was trying to avoid that, but yeah, go ahead.
Hey, you brought it up.
I didn't bring it up. That was Shay.
We blame everything on Shay.
He's a guy that's been picking around for years. I think he's up there as, you know, one of the better Batmen. You know, he's well-rounded. He's got a good Batman persona. He's got a good Bruce Wayne persona. You got, you know, and what was it? You know, George Clooney. I mean, he looked like the Batman in the mask from the comic books, but he couldn't deliver as an actor. What's his name from the one with Jim Carrey as the Riddler?
Yeah, so Val Kilmer.
He had a good Bruce Wayne, but he didn't have a good Batman. Michael Keaton, he had a good Batman. He had a good Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone complained about the raspy voice from Dark Knight with his Batman. But you know, he still got a good movie. He got a good character. But I mean, he's been up for so many movies that he kind of misses out. You might not know that he was up for the Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
He was also originally cast as Jack Shepard in Lost.
Yep.
In the original script, Jack Shepard was supposed to die, and because it was going to be an ongoing character, Michael Keaton said, I don't want to do a whole series.
Right.
He's someone who's always done exactly what he wants. He's gone on the record to saying that, you know, he read the script for Batman 3 and, you know, just chose not to do it. His original idea that he wanted to do was a flashback to him actually becoming Batman, which you kind of got with Batman Begins. Fun actor. He's actually an alumni of Second City. He's done stand-up. I think he's up there. He's also got, you know, you got Stan the Man Lee. He's actually got the better of the nicknames than Terrence Stamp and Will Smith, and he's got, you know, Michael the Heat on Keaton.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you were going to bring that up. I always loved that.
They got Terrence the Tramp Stamp, and, you know, Will, how do you like me now, Smith? You know, you got Michael the Heat on Keaton.
Michael the Heat on Keaton. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Michael Keaton is one of those actors that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and I really enjoy those iconic ones that you're talking about, you know, the Batmans and the Beetlejuices and stuff like that, but I just think that he's just such a good actor, and he does not get enough credit for it. I mean, Multiplicity might have been a stupid movie, but it had fantastic performances in it. You know, same deal with, I really liked him as Ray Nicolette in both Jackie Brown and Out of Sight. It was kind of interesting because he almost played two different Ray Nicolettes. He's kind of more confident in Jackie Brown, but he was hilarious in Out of Sight because he was just kind of an idiot walking around with the undercover police shirt on and, you know, things of that nature. He did a movie with Andy Garcia called, I think it was Extreme Justice or something like that, and he played
Desperate Measures.
Desperate Measures, there we go. And he played a convicted murderer, and he turned in another very good performance in that one. And that's a movie that a lot of people didn't like, and I never quite got it. I liked it, so. You guys like Michael Keaton?
It wasn't a great movie, but Michael Keaton is that bad guy. I mean, he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good actor will do that, and Michael Keaton does have. I think he's an actor that a lot of people sort of underestimate.
I 1,000% agree.
Because you go out now and say, well, who's Michael Keaton? And I bet you most of these young whippersnappers nowadays aren't going to really know who he is, you know. Well, he was the original Batman.
Back in the '60s, that TV show.
Yeah. But he is one of those actors that that does regularly turn in a good performance, even in bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed his performance in Much Ado About Nothing.
Dogberry. He was awesome in that.
And he's the highlight of that movie, and it's a great movie. Great, one of my favorite Shakespeare stories. And
Branagh directed that, right?
Yes,
thought so.
And Keaton is one of those actors that that you don't see turn up too often anymore in movies, and he's and I think that's a bit of a shame. A lot of people just don't think about him.
Most recent thing I remember him in was Toy Story 3, and thinking that was a vocal performance. It was a very good vocal performance, but you know, I mean, it was that. I mean, I liked the guy so much I went and saw Jack Frost in the theater, and you know, once again, I liked Michael Keaton in that, but you know, it's a silly movie about a living snowman.
Living snowman, yes.
No, but hey, no, I think he's great. I think he's a great actor, and I think Ethan nailed it on the head. Very underestimated.
It's hard to say, like, and too much when we cover pretty much everything. Just like, I mean, we're starting to repeat ourselves, but I liked the Multiplicity.
Mm-hmm.
I liked, I really did like him as Batman. I think I would pick, the other guy.
Clooney
over his, as a, just a cardboard cutout of what I want from Batman. But the, it was good. I really felt for the performance of him with Kim Basinger. That was Kim Basinger, right?
In the first movie, yes.
Yeah.
And the, what else? Mr. Mom. I haven't seen as much of his work as I have of Will Smith's.
Yeah.
Or Stan Lee's.
Yeah.
But he's really good. And I was watching the behind the scenes for Toy Story, watching him do the vocal acting and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the man's impressive.
He is.
Not something I would have thought of.
You know, well, you know, and me neither, even though, you know, he is like kind of like, you know, one of my own personal favorites. I mean, he really is. He did a movie with Nicole Kidman called My Life, where he played a father dying of cancer, and he was making up video diaries for his unborn child, and that was a very good role. I mean, he handled that very well, and I think he's a good actor, and I'll watch anything he's in, honestly. So cool. Anything else, Sean?
You know, like I said about Will Smith, I'd like to see him be able to get more roles with a lot of meat on him to really shine as an actor. One of his movies that he just did in the last couple of years is called The Merry Gentleman,
mm-hmm.
where he's a hitman for the mob who falls in love with this kind of woman and then kind of has to protect her out of it. But he really underplays it. You know, you don't really get the Michael Keaton over-the-top kind of mist that you can get out of him. But, yeah, he's got a lot of great roles. And if you guys haven't seen Night Shift,
love Night Shift.
First role directed by Ron Howard, classic movie. Henry Winkler in it, classic.
Hey, gotta love me some Fonz. Cool. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Terrence the Tramp Stamp.
You come back down here again, Pop, and we'll kill you. You understand? This is private property. We will shoot you, fucko. Do you get it? Fucking old fart, come down here. Big, dangerous gun. Yeah, we're quaking. We're quaking. Shit. Hey, you come on back. You come on back and visit Trespass, okay? We look forward to it, asshole. Stupid English fuck.
You tell him I'm coming. Tell him I'm fucking coming.
And we are back. We just let John say his piece on the Bag to Board cast nominee of Michael Keaton. Did a good job. I really, really do enjoy me some Michael Keaton. But now we're moving on to Ethan's nominee of Mr. Terrence Stamp. Ethan, why should we vote for him?
Well, Terrence Stamp has appeared in over 60 films. He is really an icon of sort of the classical British actor and the classical actor from the 60s onto today. In his first role that he ever had was Billy Budd in 1962. He received an Academy Award nomination for his first film role.
Yeah,
very
rare.
Yes, very rare. He also received a BAFTA nomination as well, and in that he won a Golden Globe for New Star of the Year in Billy Budd as well. So yeah, he's a merchant seaman in that. Terrence Stamp, of course, everyone really remembers Terrence Stamp as far as Zod, as General Zod, Neil Before Zod, from the Superman movies. And really, he's one of those actors that has been in just been in a lot of different, he's had his fingers in a lot of different pies. He took a sabbatical for 10 years in the 70s, or in the late 60s, early 70s, to go live in India and meditate and do that sort of thing. And he was actually planning on retiring from acting when Richard Donner called him up and got him a message saying, hey, I would like you to be the villain in Superman 2 mainly, which would be General Zod. And so he came out and he did this iconic performance of General Zod. When you think Superman 2, you don't think Superman, you think General Zod.
Right.
He's like, yes, he had two other cronies, but it's General Zod. I mean, it's Neil Before Zod. And he is an actor that has a wide range. He's one of my personal favorites for obvious reasons. He constantly turns in just great tour de force performances, such as in The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, where he plays.
Did he get an Oscar nomination for that?
I almost think he did.
Transsexual, correct?
He was a transsexual in that he appeared with Hugo Weaving and Guy Pearce.
It's a really good movie.
It is a very good movie.
He did not get the Academy Award nomination. He did get nominated for. He won a Seattle International Film Festival Award for Best Actor, then was nominated for a Failing Film Institute Award, a BAFTA, and a Golden Globe as well. So, but he was not, did not, was not. Mm. He's only received, as far as I know, one
for Billy Budd.
For Billy Budd, yes, one Academy Award nomination for, yes, Billy Budd, 1962. He was nominated for two BAFTAs. He has won a Golden Globe. He has won. He's won a Best Actor Award for the Cannes Film Festival, Seattle International Film Festival, the Satellite Award, and the Silver Bear. This is a guy who has been in such movies as, obviously, Superman 2. He's been in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. He was Chancellor Horum.
Very unhappy in that role.
Yes. In fact, he has a quote that goes around I find very amusing. Was they asked him, on declining to appear in the second and third Star Wars prequels, he said, well, actors prefer to work with actors.
Yeah, because he did work opposite a paper plate, if I remember right,
yes.
Because George Lucas gave Natalie Portman that day off.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
He was, in 1995, he was chosen by Empire Magazine as one of the 100 sexiest stars in film history.
I'd do him.
He has, I found this kind of just interesting, that he has a wheat and dairy intolerance and actually launched the Stamp Collection, range of organic wheat and dairy-free products in 1994. And he has is also an author of a cookbook,
mm-hmm.
as well as a three-volume autobiography. That's his memoir.
Holy shit!
He's a gastronomer or what have you.
But he has, he is one of those actors that I think he has a wide range. Most people obviously think of him as a villain from his General Zod days. But he also has appeared as various heroic and comedic characters. I mean, he's in Bowfinger.
I love him
in
Bowfinger.
Other serious roles. One of my favorite roles he ever did was Wilson in Helaini.
I love it.
Which is a movie that Steven Soderbergh wrote for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when that came out, and it's an amazing thing to watch him because he's Terrence Stamp, and he's terrifying.
Yes.
He has a scary presence.
He has a great screen presence. I think one of the things that really sells me on the guy is, one, he has a great sense of humor, not only about himself, just about his work. Because a lot of people would look at, you know, the role of General Zod of, yeah, I was in a comic book movie. I was General Zod, you know, okay. Well, but I've also done, you know, Hamlet, I've played the devil. I've done all this other, you know, this other very serious film work that I've been nominated for awards, all this stuff. But you know, he goes and he does the voice of Jor-El in Smallville.
Yeah.
And he does there's an episode of Smallville where the entity of Zod is possessing Lex Luthor's body, and he leaves his body in his scream. They got he did the scream for it too. The great thing about Terrence Stamp is I was watching a this sort of boils down to I was watching a behind the scenes sort of documentary on General Zod on one of the Smallville sets, and he's talking. He's like, "Well, I was doing stage work in New York, and I walk out, and this guy comes around the corner, and he sees me from down the block, and his eyes light up, and he just starts running at me. He gets up to me, and this is Terrence Stamp talking. He's like, and I said, it's like, what are you doing, you bastard? Kneel before Zod. Is the first thing he says, and I would hope the dude kneeled for him because I would
love that.
Because just that kind of, you know, really give back to the fans type of mentality, and that sort of fun, you know, I'm a British actor, yes, so you know, stiff upper lip type of thing, but I was General Zod.
The guy, you know, he knew that the guy wasn't running after him because of Billy Budd.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down
exactly.
to it, and you know, you're right. A lot of actors do, you know, they do take offense to that. You mean they're like, you know, by God, I've done this
know
and that.
Who I am.
Yeah.
He's also written a novel called The Knight. I don't know much about that. I just saw it on his entry. He in 1960s he shared a flat with Michael Caine.
I knew that.
Cool. And turned down the role in the title role in Alfie. And recommended Michael Caine for it.
Yep.
Who and Michael Caine, of course, went on
to do great things.
To do wonderful, wonderful things. He has only been married once. And at the age of 63, he married a 29-year-old Elizabeth O'Rourke in 2002.
That's badass.
And they got divorced in 2008. But, dude.
Right on, Terrence Stamp.
Terrence.
She probably got a little too old for him or something.
Yes. and other than that, I mean, Terrence Stamp is an award-winning actor. He's not you know, doesn't have gobs of nominations, but I think his cool factor is just, you know, an amazing, amazing thing.
Very dependable actor. Very dependable actor.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he in Elektra?
Yes, he played Stick in Elektra.
I thought so. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, we all turn in some turkeys sometimes.
And he was also, let's see, Ransley in The Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Pekwarski in Wanted, and he was villain Siegfried in Get Smart.
That's right.
I mean, the guy has done. The guy has done an amazing amount of work.
He can
playing,
do it over the top.
He has played Edgar Allan Poe. In 1977 film Blackout, obviously General Zod. He played an uncredited appearance in the film The Company of Wolves, where he played the devil.
Yep.
He was in Legal Eagles, Wall Street, Young Guns, Alien Nation, The Real McCoy. Obviously The Limey, right after that was Star Wars Episode I. His most current project, he's been doing... 71 years old, he's doing more and more voice work.
Yeah.
And he's been doing a lot of work for video games, but there is the Warhammer 40K movie Ultramarines, that is a computer animated movie that's coming out, and he is a voice in that, is his most recent credit. But
he definitely has that voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. When I first heard Jor-El speak in Smallville, I was like,
Terrence Stamp!
Terrence Stamp. And, you know, The reason I nominated him was entirely because of that little bit in the documentary, and I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
He just moved up several pegs of awesome on the awesome meter, and so that is my
nomination
right there, Terrence Stamp.
You have anything to say about Terrence Stamp, John?
You guys covered a lot. Terrence Stamp is just one of those great, kind of cool actors. And I was really hoping you guys mentioned The Limey.
Fantastic movie.
That's a wonderful movie.
I really took notice of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little later I found out, oh, he's General Zod, too? Because you don't even see the same kind of guy in there with the dyed black beard and everything.
Mm-hmm.
One of my absolute favorite movies is The Limey. And a little funny kind of thing is his roommate, Michael Caine, did a movie, Get Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically is the Limey, except he's not going after the guys that killed his brother, he's going after the guys that killed his daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's actually funny, they're connected there in almost the same kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that is horrible about Terrence Stamp is he doesn't get great films. I mean,
yeah.
he's in lots of films, but they're all bit parts. Nobody's using him like they should be, mm-hmm. like they did when they wrote the script for the Limey.
Yeah.
Knew exactly what they were getting with that actor. Just that one scene where he's kind of beaten up, he's thrown out on the street,
mm-hmm.
and like a marionette that rises off the ground, walks right back in there.
Yeah, and the camera and just stays there. And it's mm-hmm. it's a brilliant scene, yes.
You know, and it's like, why aren't more people using him? Again, like all three of the nominees so far, are these great actors who just aren't getting those great scripts, or they're not being used properly?
I agree.
Terrence definitely belongs in the hall, but who's going to win this? Who's going to vote for him? People, again, they know him as General Zod. They don't know about the other things that he's done.
My name's
great
Wilson.
Great actor.
Yes. But if anything, if this accomplishes anything, I hope people will go out and check out...
The fucking Limey.
Yeah, go rent the fucking Limey. But he's not, the Limey's not in the not a member of the Order of Ruthos, but it's the fucking Limey. It's a great movie.
It is a fantastic movie.
And you know, I hope it gets people to go out and see some of his work. He's a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I didn't actually know who the name to the face was mm-hmm. before this show. Like I knew who he was. But I didn't per se link him up, which is the only reason that I would say like Terrence fucking Stamp.
Yeah.
He was in that movie. And that's mm-hmm. the. I mean, I haven't seen every movie in the world. So and with Michael Keaton and Terrence Stamp both, I haven't seen as many of their movies as I have of Will Smith's, and I've seen. I'd say most of Will Smith's movies.
Mm-hmm. I think the chief thing I want to get across about Terrence Stamp is his range that
yeah.
he has. I mean, he does these serious roles, then he turns around and he does just delivers great comedic performance in like Bowfinger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a very talented actor. He's very, very good at what he does. And I completely agree with Sean here that it's John. I keep thinking you say Sean.
It's my list.
It's your list. I agree with John here in that I just don't think he gets enough roles that he should get. And when people think of, well, who should play this part, they don't immediately go, well, Terrence Stamp would be awesome in this part. You know, they immediately think of people more people like,
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, Anthony Hopkins, guys like that, when, you know, Terrence Stamp, I think, is a viable, great actor.
Anthony Hopkins has been stealing Terrence Stamp's parts for years.
Maybe. I don't know if any of you guys saw the movie Harry Brown, but it's a very recent release starring Michael Caine, and that is a role that I do know that Terrence Stamp did pursue, but he ended up not getting it, and I could have totally seen him in that. If you guys haven't, he's not in it, but yeah, check that out. It's a good movie too. It's one of those movies like The Limey or like what's that? Taken. You know, just like one of those, you know, those badass revenge kind of movies. It's a good movie.
Yeah. So, Terrence Stamp.
Another movie just to look up is it's from the early 80s with Terrence Stamp. He plays a British mob informant who turns to the government, and they find him out, and John Hurt and a very young Tim Roth
mm-hmm.
go and find him, and they're going to take him to kill him. And basically you have Terrence Stamp sitting in the back of the car trying to talk his way out of getting killed and trying to twist Tim Roth's character towards him to help him out, and I'll give you money, I'll do all this. And you have this range of Terrence Stamp going from like... The Hit. He goes from like a little kind of a pathetic guy to this big guy, back to this little guy. It's a very good movie. Great performances by all three actors.
Couldn't agree more. I think they're. You know, I think that's a very good movie. I haven't thought about that movie in years, though. Mm-hmm. So I should check that out again sometime.
I'm gonna put it
soon.
In my Netflix, you know.
Cool. You got anything else?
fucking Stan?
Nope, that's it. I think I've said all that needs to be said about Terrence Stamp.
Stay tuned. We're going to be right back and make the case for Stan the Man Lee.
I've got a letter here written by Sir Laurence Olivier and Shia LaBeouf. Now, those guys might have some pull with the Academy, right? Let me read it to you. Most actors are pansies. They're pretty know-nothings who say words they barely understand. Not so the cameo artist. The cameo artist is humble. He creates joy in the hearts of the audience, and he exits gracefully. A film without a cameo is dead inside. Signed, Larry and Shia. There you have it. You know, you can take the actors out of a movie, and it still works. You can't cut the cameo without killing the flick. Let's fix the Oscars by adding a best cameo category. You know, I think it would be a good choice to close the show.
And we are back with the Red Phone Zone, issue number 30. Down to the final stretches here on who's going to be named the next Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthoz. Some exciting news here is that we actually have gotten a couple more votes, so it is totally coming down to the wire at this point.
I don't know who they voted for.
Yeah, we don't know. We're not going to look yet because we actually want some of that suspense. So, yeah, we're down to the last nominee, and my personal nominee is Stan the Man Lee. He has no Academy Awards. He is a very small-time actor. He's been in some big movies, so he's been in some Marvel
Iron
movies.
Iron Man 2,
Spider-Man 1, 2, yeah, 3.
Been on television. He had a cameo in the first season of Heroes.
He does, like, some intro narration on some cartoons, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Amazing Spider-Man.
He's really a very prolific actor.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
As I understand, he's a lot more of a creator of concepts.
Yeah, as it turns out, he's actually he's in the funny book market.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of the co-founders of Marvel Comic Books.
No. Stan Lee.
Stan Lee.
I thought he worked there for like from the news office up to the top. I didn't know he founded it.
He worked with them when it was Timely Comics.
Yes. Timely, okay.
And when the when it came down to the point where he was the he was the editor, because I don't remember who was the editor. I'm not going to pretend like I knew who was the editor at the time of Timely Comics. It just came to the point where they needed a brand change, and he did like a comic book that Timely did put out years and years and years before called Marvel Comics, and so he ended up just naming the publishing house that. 87 years old, very, very, very... just absolutely instrumental in the world of comic books. I could probably do this off the top of my head, but I don't want to miss any. I mean, he co-created Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, X-Men, the Avengers, Iron Man, the Hulk, Thor, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, just tons of these comic book characters that are everyday names.
Him and Jack Kirby
and Ditko, Steve Ditko.
Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, I mean, that list goes on.
I mean, that's like a fucking superstar roster there. I mean, it's just,
John.
Nope, someone's talking to John.
Huh, how about that? I don't really feel the need to go through and hit bullet points with this guy. I mean, he is Stan the Man Lee. Mm-hmm. He is, what I think is so, just absolutely amazing about the dude is... non-comic book people know who he is.
Yeah.
I have nothing but respect for like Jim Lee and Jeff Johns, but they're not household names. Stan Lee is. One of the things that I like about him so much is just how enthusiastic he is for his craft. I mean, at the same time, he's also very, he's very humble. What was the name of that that little series that he did with Kevin, well, it's not a series, like the Kevin Smith interviews, Mutants and Masterminds, or Stanley's Mutants and Marvels, or something like that.
Monsters, Mutants and Marvels, something like that.
Very self-depreciating in it. He's just all like, I just made this stupid thing about a guy with a spider suit on. And
you talk about a guy with a good sense of humor.
He's got a very good sense of humor. Fantastically huge Twitter presence as well. Mm-hmm. Dude does, he's not as,
You can still see him sitting there just going,
I mean, he does kind of abuse the system a little bit in the fact that, you know, he doesn't care about the 150 character thing. He'll just do, you know, four or five tweets in a row and write something out. I love it. He always signs off with Excelsior, which is his big thing. I mean, I really like the guy. I mean, he just really strikes me as somebody that if I walked up to him and said, "Hey, man, you're Stan Lee," he wouldn't like punch me in the dick. I mean, he'd be all, "Yeah, I am true believer."
He did Mallrats for guys.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that was cool. And I liked him in Mallrats also.
Yeah. I'm willing to talk about the private parts of his characters and just a goofy little show with a bunch of goofballs, basically, as far as everyone was concerned. I mean, Mallrats, what is this?
Yeah.
You gotta love it. You absolutely gotta love it. Now, John, I do understand the Bagged and Board cast had an interesting encounter with the man, Stan the Man Lee.
Over the summer, my fellow Bagged and Board cast member, Chris, and I, we got to sit in a lecture hall and listen to him talk. It's probably one of the highlights of my nerd career. Number one right there was just sitting there and getting to, you know, hearing the stories that you've heard him, talk about with Kevin Smith, all those things, just sitting there and hearing him talk, absolutely the most fabulous moment in my life. And it was a giant lecture hall, and it was like half filled. And when we got out of it, there was this insane line that, like, Chris and I couldn't believe that this line of probably triple the people that were sitting there with Stan Lee were in line to see Adam West.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
The guy that played Robin.
Burt Ward.
And the big draw was that they were going to have the Batmobile there.
Ooh.
And Chris and I fathom there wasn't more people to see Stan Lee, because he's just one of the greatest. And the self-deprecating humor that he has, everything came through. And just even just being in that lecture room, you get this sense of electricity through everybody that are just so enamored by the guy. I mean, you rank him up there with God only because he's created almost all the Marvel Universe. Yeah. You know, on the first day he created the X-Men, on the second day Spider-Man, seventh day he rested and then he stood up and said, "Oh yeah, Silver Surfer and Daredevil."
Although the comic geek in me wants to tell you, really, I think Spider-Man came before.
Yeah, I do think it was
but,
Spider-Man.
Yes.
That's my geek is showing.
Yep. Yeah, before he worked on Spider-Man, he was pretty integral in some of the World War II era Captain America stories. I mean, he did not create Captain America. He does not pretend to, but he is very integral in the shaping of that character as well. I think the thing that I just really dig about him more than anything is that point I keep hitting of that self-depreciating humor. I mean, I love his story about coming up with, about when he came up with the X-Men and how it just came about because he was lazy. He says, "Well, they got superpowers because they're mutants. Fine, whatever. That sounds plausible."
Or what turned the Hulk green?
Or what?
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, it was a printer thing. They had trouble printing the gray, so I was like, "Oh, make him green."
Make him green. You know, I mean, and you know, there's just some of those personalities out there that would get into like the social and political minutia of the time. He's like, "Make him green, true believers," you know, and stuff like that.
That all being said, I mean, he is yes, he has that self-deprecating humor, but he's also an avid activist for for comics in general. You know, I mean, he fought against the
comics code.
Yeah, he fought against the comics code. He fought against the censorship of comics, and he fought against the backlash from Seduction of the Innocent, that book that came out in the 60s.
How much would you love to own a copy of that?
Seduction of the Innocent?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'd sell it.
He's a guy who just loves... He loves what he does, and you can tell he genuinely loves the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those guys that understands that I'm here doing this for you guys, for you fans out there.
I heard a quote attributed to Stan the Man Lee, which was clones, damn clones, and time travel. And I knew instantly that it wasn't true, because Stan the Man Lee does not curse. I've never, ever heard
I think reality
curse.
Would warp...
He might do it to himself, or maybe like, you know, have some sort of strange like, rabbits or something. You know, some rabbits. People do that where they pick like a word that they all kind of. I wouldn't imagine use Excelsior.
And Stan's also very good at spreading the wealth. I mean, he's not like, well, I created the X-Men. I created. It's like, oh, well, me and there. Jack did this.
Yeah.
Me and me and Steve Ditko did this. That sort of thing. And he's not so much about I'm gonna soak all this up. It's like, no, yes, I create them. I'm thrilled beyond words that people still read them, people still love these characters, and that just makes him one of the coolest guys.
Yeah.
And I've never met him.
I haven't either. And
be cool.
I need to get on the ball about that. The dude's 87 years old.
Not much time left.
Well, I hope there's another 30 years, but who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? He could be the first human to live forever.
Maybe. Got anything else to add, John?
I just hope, Walt Disney, when he dies, he frees his head to bring him back later on.
Then they should take his head and Walt Disney's head and put it on some sort of robotic spider. That'd be awesome.
Because spiders are the fiercest killers in the insect kingdom.
They are. That's what I've heard. I don't really, I just keep saying, I don't really feel the need to hit the bullet points on the dude. I mean, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Stan Lee. So, anything else, guys?
Huh. If you don't know Stan Lee, you shouldn't be listening to your podcast.
I kind of agree, but
really,
I mean, he's awesome.
See what I'm saying? We've been having this debate actually. How is this going to work? Do you drop the man and just
no.
Fucking no,
Stan.
I think the best way to go about it would be Stan the fucking manly
right in the middle.
I agree,
right, because otherwise it's just awkward.
Yeah, Stan the
Stan
man
fucking the manly. Stan the man fucking. It just doesn't work.
No, man, Stan the fucking manly.
Stan
yeah.
the.
Yeah,
it, well, it's the only way. That
here's the other thing: is it actually supposed to be Stanley fucking Lieber?
No, Stan Lee.
I believe he's legally changed his name.
Because it's so profound and has altered history.
He probably had to do that to copyright it or something like that. But that's all we got for Stan Lee. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with the winner.
So, what do you do for fun?
Me? Oh, I play games.
Oh, I like games.
Whoa, no, I mean tabletop game. With dice and stuff. Like D&D. Was it something I said?
Sir, I think you should leave.
Psst. Hey, buddy, don't worry. You'll find a Gamer's Haven around the corner.
The Gamer's Haven Podcast at gamershavenpodcast.com.
And we are back. We just spent the first part of the show. We started everything off talking about a little bit of news, and then we got into the nominees of. We started with Mr. Shea, and he gave his nominee of Will Smith. I do like the guy quite a bit. Then we brought in John from the Bag to Boardcast with their nominee of Michael Keaton. Once again, we have that going on. Then Ethan made a very good case for why you should vote for Terrence the Tramp Stamp. I love that. I'm going to be saying it from now on. And I just made a case, finally, with why you should be voting for Stan the Manly. We had a little bit of a discussion about, how it is it would have to be handled, because you can't drop the man. This is just such a great, great title that you can't get rid of it. And we couldn't decide if it was going to be Stan fucking the Manly or Stan the Man fucking Lee or Stan the Man fucker Lee or what. But it looks like it's going to have to come down to him, because he did end up winning. So it is now officially Stan the Man Lee. It was a close vote, and I had a lot
excuse
of...
Excuse me. That's Stan the fucking Man Lee.
Stan the fucking Man Lee. He did win the vote. It was an exciting vote for me, because it actually did come down to the wire. We did get some votes over the course of the show, and it sat pretty steadily for weeks at, it being one way, and then early this week we did get quite a few votes. And I think we can attribute that to the Bag to Boardcast, because they've been talking about it and voting and things of that nature. What do you guys think? Disappointed? Happy?
I voted for him.
Did you know?
Yes, I did.
I saw this coming.
It was one of those things where I
voted for.
I thought, it's like Terrence Stamp is awesome. I love Terrence Stamp. I hope to nominate him again. in a few issues, you know.
Sure, sure.
In a few,
next time,
but, you know, at a later time. But really going up against Stan Lee.
It sucks.
You know, you I said mine, you said your nomination. I was like, shit.
You're like, damn it.
I can't vote against Stan Lee.
Yeah, it sucks.
I would have to turn in my geek card. And
wow, it is really good in that way. That's why.
And, you know, as much as I love Stan Lee, I actually turned around. I voted for Michael Keaton myself. Because, you know, he's a personal favorite. You know, I think that if God and Stan Lee got into a fight, Stan Lee would win. But, you know, Michael Keaton's more of a personal choice for me. Funny. So, what do you say, John?
I knew that Stan Lee's the favorite going in, and I voted for Michael Keaton only because I'm extremely vain and wanted myself to win.
Right. You came damn close,
but,
dude.
Yeah, you know, you gotta give it to Stan Lee.
Yeah,
and I called in as many favors as I could to get my votes up on Michael Keaton, but
hey,
you know,
he didn't come in second.
Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Maybe in the future we should rule out people that are already so badass that they got their own.
They have their own title.
They have their own title. I mean, Stan.
Well,
Stan fucking Lee is pretty awesome, but Stan the man.
Sir, a title? Because I mean, technically, it is a title. Because Sir Christopher fucking Lee.
He was Christopher fucking Lee first.
Oh wow, that is a good point. That's a really good point. We beat the queen to the.
I've actually thought about that because I've actually been thinking about this quite a bit.
That's right.
We're dorks. We are dorks.
You didn't know that by now after 30 years.
Because you know, damn.
I haven't been watching.
And you know that the Christopher fucking Lee predates his knighthood by like 10 years even because of that original article.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, I'm happy with it. But this is cool because I very much would not have cared who won this one because I like all the people. And I think any single one of them would be an honorable...
To be honest, that's true every time because this is a fucking list. And it's not the fucking list, it's the order of Ruthos.
Mm-hmm.
It's people who deserve to be declared as such. And so generally they all do kind of sort of win. It's sort of nice to really put them right there at the final straw to fist fight it out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. Mm-hmm. That was
pretty
cool.
I think this one was a solid group of nominees. I don't think anyone didn't deserve to be in there.
Any one of them can become in the future. I'd be
exactly.
Cool with that.
I would be. As well, I would be entirely cool with nominations and even awards on them in later episodes.
In later episodes, issues, what have you.
Yes, we have issues. We have lots of issues.
We have several. We have at least 30 issues.
We have 30 issues. At least 30
At least 30 issues.
Issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. Stan fucking the Man Lee.
Stan the
man. Stan the fucking Man Lee. Whatever.
Get it right, man.
We'll just short it to God.
Well, that's true. We got to make the certificate, and we will send him.
That is true.
Send it to Stan the fucking Man Lee.
John, anything else on that?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Always great to chat with you guys, and hope to have some more interaction with you guys further down the road.
Rock on.
I can't wait.
I look forward to
seeing you next time. I do too. Do tune in next week. We're going to get back to a normal kind of format. We're going to be opening everything up with We Make It, where we'll be discussing what would happen if the three of us were producers on the Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting. Then after that, we're doing a top six list, where we're going to be discussing our top six favorite character entrances in film history. That's one I have a feeling I'm going to have to coach a little bit, because that was my choice, but I know what I'm talking about. I have to explain it to them.
I think I know really what you're going
just
for.
Just characters that entered into a movie all badass-like is pretty much what I'm talking about.
I think I got a few things going in my head.
Yeah, I definitely have half my list in my head already, at least. And then we're going to be wrapping everything up with a Watch This, where I'm going to be discussing about why you should be watching Batman Under the Red Hood. But until then, John, when's Bag Broadcast? When can we expect to see that?
We're trying to do regular shows. We'll be live on Ustream hopefully every Sunday. Our shows will be up on our website and hopefully soon on iTunes within a week after that. So just check us out. You can always check for updates at Bagged and Board, the Bagged and Board cast on Facebook, baggedandboard.com. I think we also have a Twitter thing.
You do have a Twitter. That's how I find out when you guys are broadcasting, because there's an update. It's just at Bagged and Board, I believe. I don't know. Is it Bagged and Board or Bagged and Board Cast on Twitter?
I have Twitter, so I don't really care.
Yeah, well, I believe it. Well, yeah, do find them on Twitter. Just type in Bagged and Board Cast, and you will find them. But other than that, I don't got anything. You guys?
Nope, I think we're good. Ready for next show.
I am too. Well, until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Shane.
And I'm John.
Let your geek flag fly.